The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before we get started, Mike, I got to tell you a quick story.
I love it. Tell me.
Okay. I don't know if you're like me, but like sometimes there's like different people that you hold in high regard, right?
Yeah.
And then you see them in the grocery store and it kind of freaks you out. Like, you remember you're a kid and you might see like a teacher in a grocery store and you're like, wait, I thought they lived at the school. You know, it's like a weird thing. And so then later in life, you know, you kind of, different people you hold in high regard and then you see them in kind of a human setting, it kind of throws you. Well, you know, I really value judges, right? That's a big deal. It's a hard job. And when you think about it, they wear robes, right? They sit up high. They've got cops between you and them. I mean, this is a big deal. So I just really respect them for a lot of reasons. And so I have a friend and he's a judge. And so I've been able to hang out with him and it blows my mind. And that's our guest today.
And he's been on my program too.
He's been on your show too.
And he's a guitar player, singing guy.
Listen, don't Don't steal my thunder now. This is my guest, Mike.
I'm sorry, buddy.
But Judge Chu's here with us. Thank you, Judge, for being here with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And you're a guitar playing guy, apparently.
I dabble a little.
A little bit. You strum the strings or pluck the bass or something. I don't know. I'm not a musical guy. So, but you are a judge here in Orange County. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I'm a circuit judge. So my area of jurisdiction is actually Orange and Osceola County.
Wow.
Which is a huge swath of Central Florida. And you really realize that when you go and you do something in Apopka and then you have to go to Kenansville, mm-hmm. You realize how big this circuit is. I've been sitting in that seat since October of 2019, so mm-hmm. just shy of 3 years. I spent 2 years in a little over 2 years in family, doing divorces and child support and paternity cases and adoptions. And since this past January, I've been in civil. So I handle cases involving lawsuits over $30,000, foreclosures, you know, business disputes, things like that.
Well, you know, I was you know, teasing you a little bit in the intro, but I do think there's truth in what I was saying. It's like when you have like a school teacher and you see them in this authoritative position, then you see them in a social environment. It's weird. It's kind of off putting, right? Like. And you know, you and I have been some places socially and you've said like, you know, you don't have to call me judge. I'm like, you got it, judge, right? because, you know, and so what I'm trying to do and what I want to kind of get out of, this interview is just some of your humanity as a person. So when people are thinking about judges, maybe able to relate to them better, because all of us are going to have sometimes some experience with that. And do you get it how scary that is? I mean, do you understand that? Like as a human, like if I was in front of you and any, even if I was just, you know, being selected for jury duty, it's scary. It's intimidating. You feel that?
Well, and you know, the thing is that I think people look at judges and they assume that we've always been judges, right?
Right.
I mean, I very much remember I spent 18 years or I've spent the last 18 years in courtrooms, most of them not as a judge.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly understand that dynamic. I never get picked for jury duty, but I've certainly known a lot of people who have. So I get their experiences. So yeah, I'm very, you know, I think one of the things that people need to understand is as judges, we're very cognizant, or at least we should be very cognizant of how people are feeling in that setting as a litigant, as a juror, and at least for me personally, I always try to take great pains to make sure that to put those folks at ease. Number one, to sort of enhance the experience that someone's having interacting with the court system. But really even more so when we're talking about a case, a witness who's at ease is an honest witness who is giving you the real story, or at least more likely to. And I think that sort of benefits everyone.
So what I hear you saying is that first off is that you weren't always a judge. You didn't have a little robe. You may have always been judgmental. No, I'm kidding. But the reason why I'm saying that is like when somebody goes into a courtroom and they see the judge you know, they didn't understand they weren't always in that position. They're human, and mm-hmm. that's helpful to understand that. But they'll also know that probably the majority of judges are more than sympathetic. They're empathetic to what the people, everyone in the room is kind of doing. So that's a good thing to
absolutely. To know. And what I'd say is, generally as the judge, you know, aspirationally at least, I know for me, you know, I expect myself to be the person in the room that's most in tune with what everybody else is feeling and experiencing, because that's, you know, the part of the purpose of this sort of our positioning in the room and the elevating and is so that we sort of have the catbird seat as to what's happening. When you're trying a case or you're litigating a case as a lawyer, you're in it, you know, and you're not necessarily you're not as in tune with what everybody else is feeling or experiencing, because that's not really what your job is.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's a long way of saying is that it's very much, I believe, the job of the judge to manage that dynamic you're talking about.
You know, Judge, when I think about my struggles through school and sometimes some sermons, Mike, I zone out. Like sometimes in life, I just kind of zone out and I have to remind myself. And when I think about your job, you have no zone out ability. I mean, you have to be completely, you can't be thinking about what you're going to watch on Netflix when you get home or your what you have for lunch. You've got to be completely focused on all that. I mean, it must take a lot of intense focus on your part. Is that right?
I mean, it does. It's, and in that sense, it is especially sort of, you know, through the COVID pandemic, you know, look, I mean, everybody's been on Zoom here or Zoom right. meetings and things like that ad nauseum. Except that what's challenging, you know, is that, you know, I'm in Zoom meetings where they're all talking to me. You know, the only purpose for this Zoom meeting is for all these people to talk to me. So you're right. It's like you have to be locked in. And I think that's where a judge's ability to manage and pace their docket, to manage their workload is important, because sometimes for the sake of cramming in another hearing, if you're diminishing the quality of what the people in front of you are getting, that's sometimes a trade-off you don't want to make.
So that's a good point. So it's not like judges just show up and are like, hey, what's going on? Like, you're really trying to thoughtfully prepare how much you can get done that day and then the cases and making sure you're ready and refreshed and so you can be that super focused person.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a good judge comes into a hearing having some idea of what's going on, you know, at least at the circuit level. I think in different types of, you know, in county court, they're doing a lot more cases that, you know, that may not always be possible. Generally speaking, when I come into a hearing, I've read the things that the parties have submitted. I mean, every hearing starts, you know, is prompted by some sort of filing, you know, so I've read that. So you come in, and I think how you prevent the sort of zone out bit is I come in, I have specific questions I want to ask. And because I'm sort of enabling myself to interact and engage with the parties, because I'm trying to hone in on the real issues, because every case, every hearing usually boils down to there's a few places where the rubber meets the road, and part of the job of the judge is to sort of filter out the noise to get to those. So the quicker I can do that, the less likely I'm going to, you know, that the real important stuff's going to get lost. And, you know, when you have where you have somebody zoning out or not picking up on the things that matter.
Well, you know, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, I mean, how many of us have been on a Zoom call and also looking at our phone at the same time or feeding our dog or, you know, who knows, right? So there's a lot of that goes on. And I feel empathy towards you when I think, gosh, like, you're just that focus. Like, it's like being a air traffic controller. I mean, there's just a certain jobs that you just have to have, you know, what do you call that? Like in the cockpit, you have to have like a whatever, like it's sterile or whatever they'd say. It's like you have to be completely focused. There's no noise. There's no nothing, because it's really life and death. And, you know, you're responsible for making decisions that, you know, change people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a great system, and it's a human system. Things don't go the way they should, But you bear that weight and have to make decisions. That's really tough, really tough, you know? So thank you for all you're doing with that. Last quick question, we're going to have to go to a break. If I told you, like, hey, Judge, I got to go to court tomorrow, and any number of things, and I want it to go well, you know, there's a lot of things I can't control. Do you have any advice for me? Like, I guess sober up would be your first advice for me. But is there anything else you would say, hey, John, you or somebody listening, and they're going to go to court, they've never been to court before, what can they do to make sure they're prepared to have the best experience they could?
I think the first bit of advice is that if you have a lawyer, listen to your lawyer.
Got it.
So many people just... they don't, you know, they hire an attorney and then they don't listen to them. So, I mean, that's the first piece of advice. You know, I would say the other piece of advice I would have is that is to relax. If you're going to testify, to relax and to be yourself and to be natural. Usually people, whether it's a judge or it's a jury, they may not be able to tell, the true thing that's happening, but what usually does come across is the lack or the presence of authenticity. Mm. And I might sense the lack of authenticity. I might not know what the real truth is, but I can oftentimes sense that this person's not being authentic.
That's really interesting to hear because I get kind of hot, you know, on issues. Some of the Irish in me comes out, right? And when I was listening to you, I was thinking, gosh, if I ever had to testify, I wonder if I would probably need to practice it somewhat so that I'm not too hot. But also, I wouldn't want to come across like a robot either, like I'm just reading something. So sincerity, coming across authentic, not overly emotional, but also engaged as far as processing. And I heard you say, listen to your lawyer. That's a big one too, right? That's a big one too. Well, Judge Chu, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and get a little... it's going to be a little harder next round. So just be ready. It's Crossman Conversation.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, and we're back. And Judge, I want to switch gears. We're talking about like thinking about seeing a judge as a human and being ready for court and listening to your attorney. Those are all good points. I want to go in a little bit of a different direction. I want to talk about the subject of justice, like just justice in a general sense, and then also what that means as a human. And I'll start off by saying this. I have a Friday morning's men's Bible study, and we were talking about forgiveness and how forgiveness, this is me talking, it seems a lot easier when you feel like justice has happened, but it's a lot harder. And again, this is my opinion. We feel like justice hasn't happened. So like an historic perspective would be like, it's easier to forgive Germany knowing that, you know, the war was over and they lost and the other things. And you're like, okay, we've forgiven. Then I think about North Korea and there's still atrocities that happen there. And so as a person of faith, it's like, how do I love these people and forgive these people? And then on a human level, it would be, you know, if a woman was getting beaten by her husband and she leaves, and she should leave, right? And should she ever forgive him? You would hope so. That doesn't mean she could reconcile with him. But man, there's a big difference between the husband that says, I'm sorry, and I'm going to AA, I'm going to therapy, and I'm turning myself into the police, you know, because I, you know, that, and a husband that's never repentant of that. So just, can you just give me, when you hear me talk about that justice for the societal on a personal level, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, justice is a concept that's, you know, that's somewhat amorphous and in a very real way is oftentimes both relative and subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Justice to one person is unjust to us, injustice to another oftentimes. You know, I think as a judge, a lot of times people think that justice is the sort of the only standard that we go by. But I think one telling way of looking at it is that every day when I take the bench, I walk underneath a seal, and above that seal are the words "equal justice under the law," and it's tempting to sort of look at that as sort of just like a throwaway phrase of sort of aspirational things. But if you really think through each of those words, equal justice, that means everybody's got, you know, gets their opportunity. And that equal justice, you know, under the law really places law or the law at the top. So, and I think the reason I say that is there's a lot of times, you know, my job, and I take very seriously, and my oath is to uphold the law and the Constitution. That trumps the idea of what I perceive to be justice. You know, that it's having faith in the system that if I apply the law, you know, and I uphold the law, that is, in a very real sense, justice. In an individual case, to an individual person, it may not feel like that all the time. So
that's a very weighty answer, Mike. Jeepers creepers. Like,
it sure is.
That was
heavy.
So when I hear that, I have to think, as you as a human, sometimes the justice under law occurs, and yet you still look at the victim and think it was justice, but that doesn't mean there's healing. And that must weigh on you sometimes. I mean, I guess the opposite. I mean, sometimes you probably have seen the jury get it wrong. You think, ooh, yeesh, you know, but this is our system and you still do your job. I mean, but do you have some days that you drive home and you're weighted by that? Is that hard?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly times where, as a judge, you make calls that if you were a king or queen, you wouldn't make. But because as a judge, you know, you're bound by the law, you do that. And there's a saying that a judge who never makes a decision they don't like probably isn't a very good judge. You know, so that happens a lot. Now that being said, is that once you make those decisions, I find that I try to spend my time agonizing over the decision to be made, as opposed to constantly turning over the decision that has been made. Because when I do that, that's taking away from the next case, you know.
Wow. You gotta stay focused.
Right.
So it's like if you're an EMT and you're treating one person and the hospital takes a patient, you got to go to the next patient, you got the next thing. You can't be too overly thinking about that.
Right.
During the Great Recession, I had a shopping center. I was representing the owner, and so I had a meeting with this. It was a small center, but the anchor tenant, which was mom and pop business. And then later in the same day, I had a meeting with the landlord about what was going on. Judge, in the meeting with the tenant cried, and in the meeting with the landlord cried, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that the tenant's business was failing, and then the landlord was the shopping center was failing, right? And so I got to imagine, like, the weight, you must see all kinds of things. And I guess you see other stuff too. Like, you do see some cases and you're like, man, Jessa was serving. There's probably an immediate feeling of like healing and hope and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, you don't, a judge isn't making a decision if it's an easy decision.
Mm. I mean, it probably would have already been done by then.
It probably already would have been sorted out. So, but at the same time, I mean, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I chose to, you know, this path. And frankly, that's why I've given up, you know, a lot more lucrative paths, because, you know, I believe I can contribute to society by being the person that makes those decisions, that I believe that, and I'm confident that I'm someone who can carry the weight of that responsibility.
Now, when you say other lucrative careers, you mean guitar solo. That's what you meant. No. You know what? Listen, when you said that, honestly, and let me say this, among other things, I'm dyslexic. And so one of the things of being aware of my dyslexia, I know there's certain jobs I would never be great at. I mean, not great at, I couldn't do, I couldn't achieve the education you have. Right. And you might say, oh, sure, you could job. No, seriously. Like, you have a brain, it works differently. Right. I literally could not do your job and I couldn't get there acclimated. So the fact that you're not this trial attorney making all this money, instead you're doing this thing as a public service and there's a sacrifice to it, that should be affirmed. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for our community. Is there anything else about being a judge that the average person doesn't know, you think they should know, that's important?
Well, I mean, I do think that probably people don't realize the preparation that goes in to each case. You know, a lot of times people will have 15 minutes, you know, in front of a judge. And I tend to keep hearing short because I believe that a lot of that preparation needs to happen beforehand. You know, so for a 15 minute hearing, there may be 30, 45, you know, minutes, an hour of preparation that on my end that goes into that hearing. Because what you don't want is someone who's going to, in the moment is shooting from the hip. Cause I think that's where you can get swayed by emotion. That's where you can get swayed by, you know, your unconscious biases. That's, you know, that's where all of the bad things of the human element of the justice system, I think, are more likely to come into play, is when we're making split second decisions.
Well, when I hear you say that, it hurts me. Like, that's where you have to make sure you've had a healthy breakfast and you're drinking plenty of water and you had a good night's sleep, right? Like, that all sounds maybe silly to somebody, but man, having you in a very calm state, because like, if you weren't on your A game, that's not good. And so that takes a lot of discipline from your side, a lot of preparation, a lot of discipline. So it's making me very empathetic to judges. So that's a good thing, and understanding that. So that's all accurate, right? You've got to be prepared in a multitude of ways.
Yeah. And you know, the Supreme Court, you know, encourages and sort of almost tries to will judges to take leave, you know, to utilize their leave, because we have these huge dockets. We have all this, it's hard, sometimes to step away from that. But I think, you know, as far up as the Supreme Court, they know, the Florida Supreme Court, they recognize that having a judge at the top of their game for less time results in superior justice and access to justice and application of the law than having a judge who's sort of operating below capacity, you know, for more time.
Gotcha. You've been a great guest, Judge. And I have a couple of last quick questions. They're fast questions.
Sure.
First off, have you ever worn shorts underneath your robe?
No.
I thought I might get him on that one. And then name a one or two, if you can, like, what's a celebrity judge or a well-known judge that you look at and you're like, I don't know if it's Judge Judy or whatever, but like a judge you're like, oh, I admire, could be Supreme Court or whatever. Is there any judge that pops your mind, you think, oh, they're doing it right, or they're cool, or they're impressive?
There's a local judge that I can tell you is Judge Antone. He's a local federal judge. A lot of the folks in Central Florida may know him. he's who I look up to and is who I very much emulate in a lot of ways.
Give me two reasons why. What is it? Is it characteristic? What is it? Why? Why do you like this judge?
Because I can tell that he loves his job.
Mm-hmm. Passion.
His passion. I can tell he loves, he's fascinated by the law, that he has this intellectual curiosity.
Curiosity. Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
And I can tell that he truly and genuinely appreciates and understands the humanity of the people in front of them, both the lawyers and the parties.
You know, I will tell you that when I think all the times in life I've been in front of different judges, I've been impressed by all of them. And the judges I've been able to meet personally because of my relationship with FAMU College of Law, which is where you and I met, have always been so impressive. And you are so impressive. And I'm just so thankful for you as a leader in this community and what you're doing to help people and the service you provide. So thanks for being on the show and thanks for all you're doing for make our lives better.
And thank you for having me. And if I can make just a brief pitch, I just want to let everybody know that I'm up for a retention in August. So, you know, I'd love to have your support if you come out and vote on or before August 23rd for me. And I appreciate it.
Well, you have my support. Yeah, I guarantee you that. So
thank you very
much.
Thank
you so much. All right. Well, this has been the Crossman Conversation. I'm John Crossman. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.